Now on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Deflected, and it's loose. K-State gets it back, and Marquise banks it home for a two. He is unbelievable. Nine for Noel, and it's 55-54. Case dribbles towards the left. Here's Massoud up top. Three-point try again. That one slid. Ish with the swish. Wow, 13 for Ish and four triples. That's 11 for K-State. They lead 80-75. Here's the drive. Marquise, step back, 17-footer. Bang, he got it. Marquise Noel scores and has 16, and K-State's lead is 82-78. With it, there's the lob for Key. Oh, my goodness, a stuff over his head. Keontae Johnson with 22. K-State leads 94-92 with 52 seconds to play. Here's Walker with 6 seconds. Got up into the air and it's knocked away. K-State's got the ball. 2 seconds, 1 second. Noel, layup. Yes, at the buzzer. And K-State has won it in overtime. They knock off a fabulous team in Michigan State. Keontae Johnson and the Cats are moving on.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, March 24, 2023. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. Today on the show, we'll talk to Stan Weber. I think it's 6:30, yeah? Yeah. Stan Weber will join us here in a couple of segments. Of course, he was on the call of that magnificent game last night between Kansas State and Michigan State. And Michigan State in overtime, K-State wins 98-93 to advance to the Elite Eight. Gary Lezak of your weekend forecast. We'll roll through our Border Patrol fast break one last time and do K-State, KU, and Mizzou. Let KU and Mizzou wrap up their seasons and talk to Jay Heidrick for K-State and look forward to the matchup against Florida Atlantic in the Elite Eight. We'll check in with Mike McFarland on some baseball, and then we will, in the 9 o'clock hour, play a bunch of post-game sound and reaction from what took place last night in the Sweet 16. And then Glenn Kinley, who is covering the game out there, he's provided some very good content that we have utilized via Twitter. So he's, you know what, let's... He's put all this good stuff out there on Twitter. Let's have him on. He had a sneaking suspicion we'd want to have multiple guests on to talk about this game last night. So, good call by, well, let's just be honest, good call by me. Marco, good follow through. All right. There you go. But we'll talk
I'm on the bench clapping, celebrating. Yeah. Nice work, guys.
Shoot, he's been embedded with the team. He's had
being
some,
able to do that.
Some great content. I don't know what you have against Glenn Kinley, but he's...
Nothing.
Seems like he's a young guy out there working hard, trying to make something happen. And we got plenty of post game. A lot of comments from that night of basketball, which was, I mean, you can't get much better than that. I mean, there was a dog thrown in there. Arkansas and UConn. UConn, look, I'm no fan of Arkansas. Maybe he is, I don't know. UConn embarrassed Arkansas. That game was over almost as soon as it started. And it, I think UConn could have made that score whatever they wanted. They ended up winning 88-65. But that was the only game that was, you know, not exciting or unwatchable. I mean, the K-State-Michigan State game, you could put up against, I mean, any game. I mean, I could put up against, I should just speak for myself, I could put up against any game that I've watched. Look, there have been some fantastic games. There's been some wonderful finishes over the years. But that's right up there. I mean, I mean, it's a cop out because I'm not going to sit there and rank everything. But that's, I mean, that's one of the best NCAA tournament games I've seen. That's one of the most entertaining NCAA tournament games I've seen. Like I tweeted last night, that's one of the best individual performances in the NCAA tournament I've ever seen. I mean, Marquise Noel. He broke the record for most assists in a game, in an NCAA tournament game. How could it not be? 20 points, 19 assists, 5 steals. Comes up with the defensive player of the night to seal the game and doesn't allow Michigan State to attempt a game-tying three and closes the show with a layup at the buzzer to give K-State a 5-point win. He had big shots. He did it on a bum ankle. It looked like maybe he wouldn't be able to finish that game, or if he did, he was going to be, you know, compromised enough where maybe he wouldn't be as effective. I don't know what it is about local athletes and bad ankle sprains making them perform even better, but that was Mahomes-esque. I mean, he had some plays like Mahomes was a basketball player that were Mahomes-esque. Some of those passes for people that enjoy point guards that actually pass the basketball, that make their teammates better, that elevate the rest of the team, that control the game, control the pace of the game, dictate the pace of the game, can control the game without scoring, even though he scores. I mean, you love Marquise Noel and the shortest guy on the floor because, like he says, hard over height. But, I mean, 19 assists, some of them were just unbelievable, just gorgeous. Can't say enough about how good he was last night. He was spectacular. And that game was fantastic. And you got to give Michigan State a whole bunch of credit because a couple of times like K-State was going to run away with it and Michigan State kept answering and Michigan State, you know, made the game-tying shot and then got a stop to send it to overtime. They hit a three to take a three-point lead. And for a couple of times, oh, Michigan State's going to win this game. But every time Michigan State had a question, K-State had the answer. And they get the win, 98-93. It's hard to put this in the words. I'm glad we have Stan Weber on for several segments because he called the game and he was there. And he's, you know, Stan always has plenty of words and we need him because, you know, to describe that. And so that was, you know, yeah, just unbelievable. And then, you know, after that, we watched FAU and Tennessee, because of course that's going to provide the opponent for Kansas State. And like I told Shane Summers when I saw him in the bathroom, I said, you should hope Tennessee wins. I would want to play Tennessee more than I would want to play Florida Atlantic. Because Florida Atlantic is just, I mean, and look, and I still think K-State's the favorite. I'll pick K-State to win. But that's, you know, Florida Atlantic, I've watched them play now twice, pretty much full games. I didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of the game against FDU, but I watched a lot of the Memphis game, a lot of the Tennessee game. They do everything well. They just don't have a whole lot of weaknesses. They're such a, You know, they've got age. They've got with certain teams has got something. You know what I mean? Where they played it. You know, individually maybe nothing scares you, but just together, they're such an unbelievably confident team. And that comes with winning so many games, right? They're 34-3 now. They're 34-3. And you can tell, I mean, look, they already beat a quality team in Memphis. They got the, you know, they benefited from the good matchup against FDU, but they beat Tennessee. There's no question that they are worthy. There's no question that they are an excellent basketball team. But I just, you know, Tennessee, I've not been a believer in Tennessee, especially after they lost their point guard. And so I thought K-State would beat Tennessee, no question. I still think K-State's going to win, but Florida Atlantic scares me a little bit. That's just, and they're fun to watch, you know, and they don't back down. It's going to be a hell of a game. I'll tell you that much. I think K-State wins. But I don't think it's going to be any pushover. And again, of all fan bases, K-State, you don't need to tell them that you just can't expect to win based on your opponent in the Elite Eight. They had Loyola Chicago with a chance to go to the Final Four, right? And on paper, like, yeah, we'll take that. Well, you saw what happened. And obviously, if you'd have told K-State, you will play in the Elite Eight, and the team that you have to beat is Florida Atlantic. Everyone and their mother and their uncle would have signed up for that in a heartbeat, right? But Florida Atlantic is there for a reason, and they're a hell of a basketball team. And so I still think K-State will win, but I think, you know, I would have rather had Tennessee. But so what? I want the best game, and I think K-State and Florida Atlantic is going to be out of sight. I don't know how many people have actually watched Florida Atlantic, and I still feel like people are sleeping on them, and you shouldn't. You know, we talked, you know, their conference USA has done well in the NIT to kind of try to at least back, you know, what C.J. Moore's saying, back up a little bit what they did in the regular season, but I think that'll be an outstanding game. And they, you know, Tennessee is such a dirty team. They play just, you know, not a fan. Not a fan of Tennessee. I don't know if I'm expressing that enough. And so I was really happy Florida Atlantic won that game. And then, hey, we told you, look, nothing was going to outshine Michigan State and Kansas State, right? That game was that was the game of the tournament. But, boy, let me tell you, hopefully you stayed up for Gonzaga-UCLA. Because that was the kind of finish we were looking for. That was the kind. It almost seemed like it was going to be similar to that finish that made Adam Morrison cry during the game, you know, all those years ago when it looked like Gonzaga had the win and they absolutely collapsed and UCLA stole the game. I'll be honest with you, I was ready to shut her down. It was, an 8 or 9 point lead with about a minute left. You know, I'm good. Let me squeeze it. Marco, you look puzzled by that. Did you know it was that type of comeback that UCLA put on them? I mean, it looked like I'm sure a bunch of people turned the game off with like a minute left. There might be some people that are listening to the show right now like, what are you talking about? Gonzaga had them by 9 points with, you know, a minute left. UCLA came all the way back and took the freaking lead on a dramatic 3-point shot, right? With 12 and a half seconds left. And then Gonzaga calmly comes down and takes a 3-pointer from the logo and makes it to win the game. And then they come up with a steal at the end to seal it. But I mean, that game was nuts. But it was like, if you had just watched K-State and Michigan State, it didn't compare. But the ending to this game was bananas. What was this? I see. Yeah, it was with 52 seconds left. It was 74-66. Then they had an 8-point lead with 52 seconds left. And UCLA took the lead with 12.5 seconds left. They erased an 8-point lead in 40 seconds and took the lead. So then that, and if that would happen, we would talk, that's one of the all-time collapses, right? Mm-hmm. How many, I mean, I don't know, how many times have you seen a team blow an 8-point lead with under a minute and lose the game, not just like get, right. go to overtime, lose the game? It was, I mean, I damn near did. It was with 2:30 left. They had a 10-point lead. As late as 1:23, they had a 9-point lead. And people were flipping it off. I don't blame you. Get that extra 10 or 15 minutes. Well, the way college basketball goes on TV, oof. The last minute of a game could take you half an hour.
Oof.
You know? And I was contemplating... just when I was contemplating turning it off, UCLA made a couple of free throws, and then Gonzaga turned the ball over. Go, well, not going anywhere. And I couldn't believe when UCLA took the lead. And I was pissed because I got the Zags going to the Final Four, and I need my bracket to do something. And then it was. And how many times did you see Marquise Noel or someone from K-State take a three? And you're like, no! And then sometimes it would go in, sometimes it wouldn't. But there was, you know, it was like these guys in both games were just playing horse. They didn't care. They didn't care where they were taking a shot from. And that's the way that did you guys were you guys watching at the end when Gonzaga hit that shot?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Like
yep.
when he took it, were you thinking, oh yeah, it's a good shot?
I thought
I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing? I made him. Okay. Because I was heavily rooting for Gonzaga. I go, okay, come on, go drive. And I'm like, why? I go, oh, that's why. Okay, whatever. And that wasn't like a desperation. I mean, they had plenty of time. Mm-hmm. He didn't fire it up there because it was getting ready to hit zeros, right? And that's the only shot he could get. You know? It was like, good God, balls of steel. What is... Seriously, like, I mean...
He was letting them hang.
No, but right? Like, yeah. It went from that to, no, bad shot, great shot. All right, then.
Yep.
You just won the game. Basketball. Those, yeah. We saw a lot of nuts out there. That was just a great night. I mean, hey, congrats to K-State fans, man. That just, to participate in a game like that, but then to win a game like that, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you just... I'm surprised if you slept. If you're a K-State fan and you slept, how? Tell me. What's your secret? We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have Nate Bucati, who loves when short guys succeed.
Yeah, I do.
We all do, because it's heart over height. I'm dragging because I had so much adrenaline watching those basketball games. I loved it. It's fantastic. Wonderful. Awesome. Congrats to K-State. We'll take a break. We'll talk more college basketball after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Marco, before or while we get Nate's comments, I want to play some of these things we were sending each other as we were sliding into each other's DMs last night. Especially the a lot of people weren't very happy with Tom Izzo's comments right after the game,
yeah,
outside the locker room. But we've got that. We're going to play all kinds of stuff. We're going to get to it here in a minute. But, Nate, your thoughts on what we saw last night between K-State and Michigan State.
Well, you mentioned that I love seeing a little guy do big things in the world. And I don't know how you could be anything but a massive fan of Marquise Noel. And seeing Patrick Mahomes tweeting at Mr. New York with the muscle flex emojis, triple muscle flex emojis.
How are you doing?
How are you doing? I don't know if that is as cool to Marquise Noel as it seems to all of us, but to me, like the greatest the greatest professional sports athlete in America, tweeting at you and recognizing your game. Wow, almost got a little choked up thinking about that. Wow. But what a performance. And the thing is, you mentioned a couple questionable shots. He took a bad shot at the end of regulation, and he took a bad shot at the end of overtime, and it doesn't matter because that dude, 19 assists. 19! And on a bad ankle, and we haven't even really talked much about the play yet, the alley-oop to you know, his fellow, you know, player of the year type candidate, Keyonte Johnson, who catches it and reverse dunks it. I mean, if you think about...
We've seen the Chiefs do that before.
Just like make it up as they go?
When Kelsey's looking over, yeah. They act like they have the wrong personnel in, or they're looking at the... What's going on? Yeah. And they snap the ball. That's the first thing I thought of. Oh, that's the Chiefs. But some people were pointing out, did they do that to Kansas earlier this year?
That's a good question. I don't remember.
Oh, it's a damn good question because people pointed it out, and I thought maybe you'd remember.
But they were claiming, the stuff I was reading last night, that it was that he really was disagreeing with Jerome Tang on what to play, and then he just caught out of the corner of his eye that Keyonte Johnson was cutting to the basket, and they have such chemistry together, he just threw the pass. But we remember yesterday when I was telling you I thought that K-State was going to win, and this game could have gone either way. I just love the fact that Jerome Tang's guys play free. They play with a free mind. And sometimes that means Marquise Noel takes a bad shot. But he doesn't get all over him and crush him to the point where he feels like he's got to go out there and play scared or programmed. He plays with a free enough mind and confidence that when he sees that play, he throws the pass. And that pass, I mean, if you think about like the point in the game, you know, and how much was at stake, a trip to the Final Four and all that stuff, for him to throw that pass is a perfect example of those guys playing with confidence and playing free. It was just awesome to watch. What a game.
I think it's more startling, not for him to throw that pass, but for Michigan State to fall asleep.
I was pretty stunned by that.
You know, because like in football, when you do that, it's a dead ball.
Yeah.
Right? And you're lining up. And there's nothing that should happen on the floor at that point in the game where you lose your guy.
Yeah.
They fell asleep. They fell asleep.
They did. But at the same
time, they got done.
He didn't look like he was ready to throw a pat, like a lob pass. He was at midcourt and arguing with his coach, you know? I didn't think he was going to throw a pass there. So I give him a little bit of food. I hear you. But what a play. I mean, and to throw, like, he throws that pass, like, perfect. I mean, like, perfectly delivered from half court. I mean, it was, what a night. And I kind of dozed off in the UCLA-Gonzaga game when it was...
Don't lie to me, you didn't see the end.
No, I did.
Don't lie to the people. I got people out here listening to this show.
I'm not lying. Depend
on you telling the truth.
I'm admitting that I dozed off. I missed most of UCLA's comeback, and then I started. I was laying in bed, and I was kind of falling asleep, and then all of a sudden I kind of heard the announcers yelling,
right?
And then it was Harlan, right? And I woke up because of the yelling, and I saw it I saw the game winning shot, the 3-pointer.
Oh, that last minute was like what?
So I missed the comeback. I don't really know how Gonzaga blew the lead. But I saw the 3-pointer.
Well, the biggest thing was and I know it's tough, man, but it drives me crazy. Missed free throws.
Yeah.
And then Timmy, the oldest guy, I mean, he's like 39 years old, and he had a great, I mean, 36, what do you have, 36 points and 13 rebounds?
Yeah.
But he missed two free throws.
Oh, wow.
You're right in the middle, right, you know.
Yeah.
And they kept flashing the camera over to his parents.
Yeah. It was like the most uncomfortable.
Oof.
How much time was left when he missed those free throws? He missed 25 seconds left. He missed both free throws, right?
Man.
And so he went to the line when it was 75-73, right? Make one of them a 3-point lead, you make both of them. He missed them both, and then UCLA hit the three. So it was like, oh no. Oh, I mean, that 3-pointer they had saved him from And it's hard to say the guy would have been the, you know, the go after dropping 36 points. But, I mean, 25 seconds left, and you're the most experienced player in the history of college basketball. I'm embellishing, but still, you know, I think he has, you know, four kids. One of them just graduated high school. But the point is, he missed both of them.
Boy, that would be a terrible way to end it.
Right. And then UCLA hit the three to take the one-point lead. So there was a lot. They did a lot. It wasn't just one thing, but that was the biggest one, right? Like, oh. You know, they cooperated. But UCLA, you know, it was the perfect storm of, oh, my God, until Gonzaga hit the logo three. And that wasn't a great decision.
Yeah.
Because if they missed that, like, what were you doing? That would just have been another chapter of the of their collapse. Like, why did you take that shot? But it went in, so now it's fantastic. Now it's one of the best shots you've ever seen in the tournament. And it really right. was, because it won the game against UCLA. And just, it was an exhausting, and there's no one better to have on the call than Kevin Harlan. And there's just no one better. And you're just, like, exasperated after the game. And you feel like you just played the final minute. So many things happened in that last minute. It's like, that's why you have to watch it. I can't sit and tell you everything.
So many things happened last night, and I do want to say that it was great on so many levels that UConn just absolutely put a clown suit all over Arkansas, because you didn't have to watch the game to enjoy the hell out of it. If you, like,
I was going to tune in to see, and I looked at the score. I go, there, what? Like, they did. What is going on there? They're like down 30. Like,
oh, my God. And so you didn't have to watch it, but it still was thoroughly enjoyable for a lot of people.
I didn't
know what
see
I mean?
Any
like,
of it.
I didn't watch it. I saw some highlights.
Waste my time.
They showed some highlights of it coming back from a commercial break to the K-State game or something. And I started giggling. And then I started looking at all the angry KU fans on Twitter. Yeah. Cole Aldrich said, blowouts are for the first round. Don't get your ass kicked after taking your shirt off. You know,
right. And I'm going to suggest you. I think you picked them. I'm going to suggest that. You know, I know Kansas doesn't back down from anyone, but maybe they didn't want any part of UConn.
Well, hey, I picked Connecticut UConn, to win that game.
UConn's like, ooh,
they look good.
Ooh.
How about UConn Gonzaga in the Elite Eight?
Oh, that's fantastic! Oh. What a game! What a matchup! We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
From Marquise and I guess Jerome. On the reverse alley-oop play, is that a fake play call you guys are doing between each other? What's going on there?
We'll start with Marquise.
Tell him, because then the next team knows.
I mean, it was just a basketball play between me and Keontae. We knew how Michigan State, you know, plays defense. They play high up. And Keontae just told me, like, we got eye contact, and he was like, lob, lob. You know, I just threw it up, and he made a great play.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, March 24th. Night two of the Sweet 16 is tonight. And two of the games are in Kansas City. I'll be down there on stage for the Miller Lite Fan Fest. So, yeah, Mark could come out there. I'll throw something right at you. And so come down there and see me. I'll be on stage with Josh Briscoe and Pamela, and looking forward to welcoming some out-of-town guests from Houston and from Texas and from Xavier and from Miami. I'll throw things at you. I'll hug you, welcome you to Kansas City. But I'll get you ready. We've got Sweet 16 action tonight at the T-Mobile Center. So come on down to the Miller Lite Fan Fest at Hoop Central.
Yeah.
At the KC Live and Power and Light, presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I'm also going to be at the new location for Andy's Frozen Custard today from 11 until 1. And so if you want to come out and see me, today's your day. I'm all over the place. So, and it's always good to have some delicious frozen custard. All right, so if you would like to come out and say hello to me today, I'd love to say hello to you. I'm going to be at the Andy's location, 115th and Knoll, today from 11 until 1. They'll have $2 regular size, one topping sundaes all day during this grand opening celebration. You can win prizes and enter to win Andy's for a year. I'll be there from 11 to 1, 115th and Knoll. Stop by and see me. Enjoy $2 sundaes on the patio or in the drive through all day. Top your day with a smile at Andy's. Boy, Stan, I bet you'd like to have a nice sundae to celebrate that big win last night. How many hours have you slept, by the way, Stan Weber?
Not many. Good morning, guys. I feel like you now. Just
right.
You know, one of those people, hey, I got to take in every bit of the sports the night before and then get up early in the morning and get going. So I think I went to sleep approximately 2:45 Eastern time. It sounds more impressive that way. 1:45 Central, since we're living on Central time. All the time, all of our listeners on the K-State Sports Network, you know, they don't care what time zone we're in.
Right.
It's always Central time. So anyway, if 1:45 your time, I think, is when I went to bed. That'd be the earliest I fell asleep, right in that territory. So it was a lot of fun, no doubt about it. And I was just hoping you would invite me some, you know, I love some Sweet 16 basketball. I thought Nate's buddies probably have a jet, can come get me, bring me back and
right.
Watch Kansas City version of the Sweet 16 and get back in plenty of time. Hey, since we don't need to sleep, we can just kind of fly anytime at night and be back in New York City by early in the morning on Saturday and be ready for some K-State basketball again in the Elite Eight. So, Nate, if you can get that figured out and Steven can invite me. And I love me some custard as well.
Yeah. So. We'll get on the horn and see if we can get you some private flights lined up, whatever we can do.
Okay, so here's my first question for you. We can make it basketball or football, but we maybe easier to just stick to basketball. Amongst all the games that you've ever called, where does that rank? Because I was a friend of mine that's a huge K-State fan was texting me and just asked me how this compares to the Sweet 16 game several years ago in Xavier. Because, like, that was an unbelievably dramatic, fantastic game. And so, I mean, you just talk about, hey, what's the best K-State Sweet 16 game you called? But just of all the basketball games you've called, where does that rank?
Wow, that's a tough one. And top five, okay. But how do you inch it toward number one? Beating Kentucky for the first time ever, the last time in 2018 that we made it to the Elite Eight, was a big, big deal. So winning over Kentucky, the Xavier game, from a national perspective, has to have that's immediately what I thought about and talked about in postgame, was it felt like that. It was overtime. The NCAA tournament environment was off the charts. When we won against Kentucky in 18, everybody in the building was rooting against Kentucky except for the Kentucky fans, right? This game here, you had more K-State fans than any, but it was back and forth, and it wasn't everybody ganging up on the big, bad Kentucky Wildcats. This game was just jaws dropped, everybody standing, 19,000 people, you know, Tennessee and FAU fans, New York City fans, neutral fans, whatever, everybody was standing on their feet for the last 5 minutes of the game and all the way through overtime. So it just felt like it should. It was that big. There's a roar every play that was made. So, you know, you got to feel good. That's 2010 Sweet 16 win, 2018 Sweet 16 win, 2023 Sweet 16 win. All three of those are giant wins. And then, obviously, the first time that K-State ever beat KU in Bramlage was off the charts with Jacob Pullen. Roy Williams started that long, long run of going to Manhattan and winning against K-State, and it lasted until Beasley and Pullen and those guys won. So, you know, I think if just off the top of my head, those would be, you know, four top games that I was able to broadcast in recent history. So just an incredible amount of fun on a giant stage. And the thing I think about, guys, when I think of YouTube, because, you know, I've not seen it, but I've seen really good pictures of Nate's backyard.
Right.
And it is painted into like a mini football field version with Chiefs logos and everything else. I think about all the kids out there and the youth and enjoying all of us that you just want to go out and play ball or recreate what you saw. I mean, you see that and you're like, man, I got to play some ball, act like I'm in the Sweet 16. I just wonder, if you think about this, I don't know if you remember all the way back, the K-State game started with a tip, and Marquise Noel dribbled the ball across half court, launched a pass that Keontae Johnson stuffed to start the game, 2-0. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then they finish it with a twist and do it later in the game to finish it off with a dunk, almost the same thing going the other direction. Which one of you guys are Keontae Johnson, and which of you guys are Marquise Noel when you guys recreated this?
I got to be the short guy, so, you know, I'm trying to clean that. And look, here's the deal. Like, I've got two basketball crazy daughters, and it has not been featured prominently on SportsCenter, but we have a basketball court from Sport Court KC. SportCourtKC.com, your go-to for athletic flooring. And so, the March Madness gets them all fired up. And so Selena's out there hitting shots, and she loves it because she's usually one of the shortest players on the floor because she plays up and she's a guard. And so there's something to be extracted from that. But, yeah, we're a basketball-loving family, and so that's certainly...
So you're like Jerome Tang then.
Yeah.
Steven, you're the one. She's backing up to the logo.
Right.
Marquise Noel saying, I can get my heels on half court, can't I? Oh, darn it, that's backcourt. No, did you see him launch one?
Right.
And even in this game, I mean, every kid out there has got to say, hey, I don't care what my dad says. I don't care what my mom says. I don't care what coach says. I'm going to back up and launch.
Yeah, there are no shots that she doesn't like. Okay, before now, we'll break and so you can think about this. Second question on top of the first question I want to ask you. And so for Marquise Noel, he breaks the record. Most assists ever in an NCAA tournament game. I'm going to ask you, then we'll break, and you can come back with the answer. Where does that rank amongst the greatest individual performances that you've called in a basketball game? And so I'll give you a chance to think about that. I'm sure Jacob Pullen's got to be in there somewhere. But we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll get Stan's answer to that. We have Stan Weber. He slept for 45 minutes, and now he's on the show ready to talk about one of the best games we've ever seen in the NCAA tournament, K-State's overtime victory over Michigan State last night to advance to the Elite Eight. We'll be right back after this on WHB.
A couple of people said before the alley-oop to Keontae, you looked at the crowd and said, watch this. Can you confirm or deny that?
Dang, I got to watch what I say. I mean,
so
I'll be in the zone.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking to Isaiah Thomas because I think he had a friend over there. And he was rooting for them, and I'm like, y'all not going to win today. And I just kept looking at him for some, you know, added motivation. But, you know, it was nothing but cool vibes with them over there.
By the way, the friend that he had with him, you know who the friend was? Mateen Cleaves.
Ah!
So, more than a friend.
Somebody
right
knows something about good performances in March?
Right. We bring Stan Weber back in. Stan, you've had time to think about it. Where does this rank amongst the greatest individual performances that you've called as a broadcaster?
Well, I'm going to say there's definitely some games with Michael Beasley, right? Jacob Pullen lit the scoreboard up some, including that game against Kansas when he had 20 his freshman year when they beat Kansas for the first time in Bramlage Coliseum. I got to say this because it is maybe the best ever by Marquise Noel, but the one that stands out a little bit was Denny Clemente in January of 2009 went to number 11 Texas and in overtime in an 85-81 K-State win scored 44 points and really introduced himself to K-State basketball that he and Poland might be a pretty good backcourt, and the next year they went to the Elite Eight. With that 2010 team. But it's hard to say on this stage in New York City with Marquise Noel hitting the national stage that he lived up to all the hype after he got injured. Okay, don't forget that part of the movie. After the first two games, you guys may have some strong opinions here, but I think Marquise Noel may have been the best player so far in the NCAA tournament through two rounds.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, okay. Stan, he set an NCAA record.
Yeah, that's the third game, Nate. That's the third game.
Sorry. Okay. Okay, gotcha.
After two.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
After two, he exploded on the national scene.
Yeah, yeah.
He hardly scored in the first half against Kentucky. But don't you remember behind the back pass right before the half, between the legs pass right before the half, And then the no-look, drive-through Kentucky's double team, alley-oop to Naquan Tomlin to finish off the half with a two-hand stuff along the baseline. And K-State, when it appeared Kentucky had outplayed K-State, went to the half leading by three. Then he turned it on and ended up with 27 points in the second half, right? And K-State missed their first 13 shots from behind the arc against Kentucky until he went off and made three, and they were hard shots over big guys. So anyway, we get to New York City, and you can just tell with the national media what's going on and all the places that you can keep track of social media. And here in New York City, you can just tell he has reached the big stage. I mean, everybody's talking about Marquise Noel. People are knowing about his play, his flair, his excellence, and all of those things. And it's not the story about Hayes coming back to his home. He grew up in Harlem, one of four K-Staters growing up in the New York area here. It's not about that story. It's about this mighty mite is the Deuce Vaughn of basketball. You know, K-State, and he's been called Deuce Vaughn. Wyatt has been with Catbacker events, and people walked up to him this summer and say, "Hey, Deuce, can I get an autograph?" He's like, "Oh, man, I'm not Deuce. I'm Marquise Noel." So K-State's got the story of the two superstars that are a little bit smaller. You know, the Nate Buchades of the world here cheering. And anyway, so he comes into this environment in Madison Square Garden with all that hype, and then he lives up to it with the most assists ever in an NCAA tournament game. He had 10 at the half. K-State's all-time record was 16. The second best was 14, and he'd already done that twice this year. And he had 10 in the first half, 9 in the second half, scored the basketball, and, oh, by the way, laid on the floor with an ankle injury at the 15:31 mark of the second half. With K-State up by 4, it took him forever to get up. He hardly put any weight on his ankle. They carried him off to the side. It did not look good. So he sat out about 2.5 minutes. K-State lost 7 points on the scoreboard, guys. It went up from plus 4 to down by 3. Somehow he came back in and just went off again. And then you look at the storybook plays. How about the three-point make when the ball bounced off the rim, almost out of bounds? He curled around going away from the basket with the shot clock running and almost got tackled at the ankles. He's dribbling the wrong way and spins on a foot like he's shooting a layup behind the arc for the left wing, and it seems like I can reach out my hand. That's where I'm sitting and almost touch him, and he rips a three-pointer. Plus everything else he did, the alley-oop dunks, the talking out on the court, this is my town and all that stuff. So, yeah, this could easily be the first. I've got to respect some of the others like Danny Clemente's 44, but this is in the Sweet 16 in Madison Square Garden and with the hype, guys. You know, it's one thing to be good, but when everyone starts acting like, oh, yeah, you're great, it's hard to deliver again, and he delivered maybe at a higher level. People just, I mean, the crowd's reaction to what he did was awesome. Everybody in the crowd, other than obviously the fans from Michigan State, were just cheering so loud when he made some of these passes, made some of these shots. So just a great job. It's unbelievable, and I haven't obviously seen him yet this morning. I hope that ankle heals. Because it's not going to be that long until K-State's playing again in that Elite Eight game.
Yeah, that was a question I was going to ask you. You know, obviously with the adrenaline we've seen, and we have this comparison to Patrick Mahomes we've seen recently, you know, the way he was able to get through that initial game against Jacksonville, and then it took him that whole week to try to get ready for the AFC Championship game. And so you said you haven't seen him yet. That would be one concern, just to see how that ankle responds the day after. We can talk more about that after this. We've got Stan Weber live. He might be live from Madison Square Garden. I don't know. I know he's in New York. But we'll talk to Stan Weber more after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP.